This is Mark Rosendorf, author of the Witches of Vegas series, and you are listening to the Oblivion Bar Pod. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Oblivion Bar Podcast, the official podcast of the Fantasy Shop in St. Charles, Missouri. Once again, just a quick hit on the Patreon. If you're not aware, we have a Patreon account, patreon.com/OblivionBarPod. Really, anything helps. You can go over to our Discord. You get exclusive channels, exclusive access to some of our transcripts before we do the shows, special episodes called The Grid each week. And today is actually a really, really special episode, a book that I've been reading, and I'm super, super excited about talking to the author, The Witches of Vegas. You've heard about it during my Twitch talk, during the regular episodes. You've heard about my enthusiasm for reading, and this book, just since the very beginning of picking it up, I've just been, not just because I'm from Vegas, but because of how, it's just how well written it is. So today I have with us, Mr. Mark Rosendorf, who is the author of The Witches of Vegas and the two sequel books. So Mark, welcome to the show.
Aaron, thank you for having me on the show. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. Thank you for this opportunity.
Yeah, when we first started talking, I was really excited because you came to the show with The Witches of Vegas, and as soon as you mentioned Vegas and you kind of explained the concept, I was like, I'm into it. And then you were even kind of challenging me to think about some of the locations, things like it. I gotta say, because I've talked about it before, and I love how you, I keep wanting to jump so far ahead because I'm so excited to talk to you, because I'm really enjoying it.
I'm just excited to talk to you.
But let's hear about you. Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and then we'll start talking about the witches.
Sure. Well, my name is Mark Rosendorf. I was born and raised in Queens, New York. I'm currently a high school guidance counselor for students with special needs. I've been doing that. Actually, my first week on the job was 9/11.
Oh, wow.
I've been doing that ever since. Prior to that, I was in the hotel industry. And at one point in my life, I was also a professional magician.
Oh,
I actually
cool.
through college for extra spending money. I worked at the nightclubs. And then afterwards, I did birthday parties, bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs. So magic has always been a huge, huge part of my life. And I still use it today with my students.
That's awesome. So not only do you have – I mean, from hearing that bit about you and reading the book, I can already tell how you – have already kind of interlaced your life into this book. And so if you don't mind also, kind of, can you give us a brief, synopsis of what the first book of The Witches of Vegas is about?
Happily. So The Witches of Vegas is about a family of witches and their vampire mentor who hide in plain sight and actively practice their magic as magicians on the Vegas Strip. It revolves around two teenagers, 15-year-old Isis Rivera, who is the adopted daughter of the Witches of Vegas, and then Zach Galloway, who is the nephew and magician's assistant to Herb Galloway, who is a magician in Vegas. At this point, the Witches of Vegas show has been so amazing because they do cheap seats, because they don't have to put any props or money into it because using their witchcraft, and their show is so amazing, most of the magicians have left. Except Herb Galloway, the one magician who cannot afford to, working with his 15-year-old nephew, Zach. Now, Isis and Zach should be rivals. After all, they're on opposite sides of this. But when a threat from the vampire's past, long past, comes to Vegas, it's going to be up to Isis and Zach to be able to bring their families together and to combat this threat if it's not already too late.
I'm kind of got a little bit of chills from that, because like I as I'm hearing you talk about it, like, I'm kind of like imagining the scenes that I've read already so far throughout the book. And the fact that it's in Vegas and you're talking about some of the scenes and some of the, you know, it's obviously a throwback to where I'm from, because my wife and I were actually from Vegas, which is funny also because she actually lived in Brooklyn, New York for 15 years. And so we're both huge fans of New York as well. But one thing I love about the book so far, and I hope I'm not jumping around too much, but one thing I love is just how you wrote the two characters, Zach and Isis. They're so well written, and you can kind of like almost obviously like feel that they're young and they're inexperienced in the world, but they've both been through so much, and they've already both kind of lived like very interesting and adult lives from what they've been through and experienced. But at the same time, they still have all these like innocent moments, like their first date. And again, I'm not going to spoil too much, but these moments together. And I love the dynamic of their relationship. I think it's so fantastic because, again, you have Isis, who is this real life witch who's learning her powers, who's learning to hone the magic. And then you have Zach, who's an actual magician. And they're both kind of like skating this weird boundary between both of them. And I just love that dynamic. How did you kind of come up with that?
Well, first of all, I've been working with teens, as I mentioned, for over 20 years. So of course, a lot of that goes into it. And second, one of my goals with the Witches of Vegas when creating Isis and Zach is I wanted this to be two teens that anyone can relate to. The book is written mostly for teenagers, but I feel adults can also relate to this. And absolutely. The truth is, if you watch Twilight, Harry Potter, you know, it's always they're the most popular kids. They're the jock. How many of us are really like that, right? You know, so I wanted characters that people relate to. Isis, you know, because she's homeschooled with the witches. She's a very shy type because of everything she's been through. And all of us, you know, have lives that have affected us. Zach, yes, he's a magician on stage, but as mentioned in the book, he's not the most popular kid in the school. He's the one who gets picked on by the bullies. Even those who go to his show still pick on him the next day. And I feel this is, you know, these are the types that we can all relate to. We've all been there, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Definitely. I was kind of the floater when I was in high school. I kind of went from group to group to group, never really being the alpha or the, you know, the top dog of any group, but I always kind of just fit myself in there. But I can definitely relate to both of these characters because they have a lot to learn and they have a lot to experience when it comes to this bigger world. And they're both, and not only just like the world of adulthood, but the world of magic, the world of show business. So again, and then also they're going to be thrown into this world of magic and mystery and danger. And then I'm just, like I said, I'm excited to read more of it. Let's get back to you a little bit. Give us your what brought you into the writing sphere. Like what inspired you to write?
I've always loved to write. And I was one area I was very good at. I was one of those great at writing, lousy at math. Still am. I had teachers always saying, someday you're going to be a writer. And I always had a lot of ideas, but you need an idea that you can write 80,000 words on, which is, you know, harder than you would think. A lot of stories you start writing, and, you know, they say the typical writer starts a book, and by the second chapter, they're done. I need one to really keep me. And in the past, I've written books. I wrote, I originally, when I started writing, I wrote for adults. I wrote adult thrillers, a series called The Rasner Effect. And at the time, you know, honestly, if I knew how difficult it was to get published, I probably wouldn't have even started. But once I realized, it's like, well, I'm too far in. I got to keep on going, keep on trucking.
I'm invested.
I wrote the book. I got to get it out there. And I did. And I found a publisher. And as it turned out, I didn't really know the industry as well as I, you know, should, which makes sense. You know, my industry is guidance counselor. And I wasn't really making an impact on it. And at that point, I had written three books, a series, the Rasner Effect series, and then I wrote a sci-fi book, which you probably couldn't even find online to buy anywhere. And that was four books in about 4 years. And by the time I really started understanding the industry, I was burnt out. Mm-hmm. And plus, my book became dated. To give you an idea how dated it was, the first Rasner Effect book had it was a group of assassins, and one was the tech guy, and you knew he was a tech guy because he used all the highest tech, all the latest tech, which was the BlackBerry at the time. And now it's like, yeah, okay. So I decided to quit writing. I said, you know what? I've got books out there, been there, done that, moving on. To show you how little of an impact I made, when I decided to give up writing, I was the only one who realized that I gave up writing.
Oh.
No one even noticed. So fast forward years later, as I mentioned before, I use a lot of magic with my students. And, you know, we always put on shows. You know, it's good for team building. It's good for confidence. It's good for, you know, teaching step-by-step direction. So we put on shows, and a lot of those shows do go to different schools. And one night I'm just thinking about it, how, boy, for all the work that we put into these shows, you know, it's weeks to do a half-hour show. And to the audience, it might as well be witchcraft. And all of a sudden, I was like, whoa, there's an idea. So I started, I grabbed a pen, I got a pad, I got a flashlight. It's 2 a.m. I'm taking notes. I'm trying very hard not to wake my wife. And I'm just taking notes. And I did this day after day, like, who are the characters? Well, this should be young adult. And the first character I thought of was Isis and Zach. I chose Isis's name, by the way, because in mythology, Isis means the goddess of magic.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was perfect. And then I was like, well, who would her family be? And that's when I came up with, you know, Sebastian and Selena, her, you know, adopted parents,
mm-hmm.
Sasha, her aunt, and I came up with Herb Galloway, adding to Zach Galloway, and of course Luther.
Perfect name, by the way, for a magician and his
Galloway.
Assistant.
Well, he said if I was going to write a magician, I was going to use that name, Galloway. Luther was, I think, after the two teens, he was the next character, the 500-year-old vampire.
Mm-hmm.
And I started thinking, well, what's the premise of the story? What's going to happen? The ideas just started hitting me. It was almost like they're from another reality that channeled me and were telling me their stories just so I could bring it to the world here. It literally felt that way. Like, you ever, it's almost like, you know, when you see a movie and then when you leave, all the scenes are still playing out in your head.
Mm-hmm.
It was like that, except it wasn't a movie. It was original. So I said, you know what? I said I was giving up writing, but I have to write the story. And I did. And the first thing I did with my family was we took a trip to Vegas because I knew, well, they're magicians. It has to be in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided, well, if it's going to be in Vegas, Vegas has to be almost its own character in the book. So we went to Vegas and I'm taking notes of everything that I'm seeing, which if you read it, you could probably tell, oh, I know where this is. I know where that is. I learned so much about Vegas where I actually had to go back and make changes. Like the fact that I had one scene where Isis and Zach are crossing the street. Now I'm on the strip, I realize there's no crossing the street. You got to go through, you know, tunnels.
You got to all the way down. Yeah.
Right. And the whole story just came together. And once I put it out there, the Wild Rose Press picked it up. They wanted to publish it. And I found a lot of people really enjoyed the book. It won the Roan Award, which is in independent publishing is like really a big deal. And as you know, there was a second book and a third that came out and a fourth that's on the way.
That's awesome. I am very happy that you picked up writing again, that this kind of inspired you to come back to the writing sphere, because I mean, especially the fact that you have channeled your passions into this. Like I'm just happy for you, but I'm also happy for myself and my entertainment.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, I've been a magician since I was 15. Working with teens since 2001, you could practically say I've been researching this book most of my life. And it's like, well, why didn't I write it from the beginning? But now I'm glad I didn't, because honestly, when I look back at my old books, I can see a lot of the mistakes I made. I can see my strengths. I can see my weaknesses. And I feel that all of my strengths are here in the Witches of Vegas. All my experience is in the Witches of Vegas series.
I love that. I truly believe that a lot of things happen for a specific reason in a specific order. And I mean, who knows? You may just have to have learned some lessons, and you had to have maybe kind of gone through some down spells and some failures in order to learn how to write these characters and really kind of relate to them, because you've written them so well. Like, you've written them as like I could see them as real people. Like I, you know, as a kid walking down the Vegas Strip and just seeing people, ooh, you know, ah, and it's just, I find it remarkable. And then having seen shows, to, like all these shows, and seeing them, you know, it's like, especially when you describe the witches show. I'm going to stop there because I'm not going to give too many spoilers away. But yes, so Isis and Zach are the two main characters, obviously inspired by you working with, you know, young adults. Yeah. I was going to say young people, young adults, humans. Yeah. But I just, you know, I would love to have been like there present when you were walking around kind of gaining inspiration from Vegas. I would love to have been like walking around and like seeing you like just taking notes. I think that would have been just an awesome experience.
My family didn't think so, because to be honest, like, you're just taking more notes.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit, if you, I mean, I know it's hard to give a synopsis of a book, but tell us a little bit about the sequel, if for those who have read The Witches of Vegas.
Okay, well, Journey to New Salem takes place a year after The Witches of Vegas, and one of the members becomes very ill, and there is no medical reason for it, so it's obviously something Wiccan, which these witches who have been, at this point, are the stars of Vegas, but there's no other witches around them, are unsure of what to do. So they knew there's in the Wiccan world, there's rumors of a village that's hidden somewhere in the world that's a sanctuary for witches.
Oh, cool.
And they have to find this village. You know, first of all, they have to figure out how to find it, and then they have to find it, if it even exists. Mm-hmm. With the hope of helping their sick member.
Oh man, that makes me even more excited to read that one. Now I gotta zoom even faster through the first one. Sure. That kind of bring.
Go ahead. Oh, that was the second book. You also gonna ask about the third book, correct?
I feel like, yeah. Let's talk about that one. But before sure. I want to kind of ask. When it comes to like Wiccan, when it comes to the background on the witches themselves, did you have like what kind of research did you do to kind of
get? Okay, I decided to take a different approach on it. I didn't want to just go with the typical what every or almost every witch movie, witch book presents them as. And I don't know if you're familiar with Carl Jung. Carl Jung was a psychiatrist back in the days of Sigmund Freud, and it was his belief, he has something called synchronicity. He believed that we can actually, that the world is surrounded by energy, and we can actually control it through the power of the mind. And he actually gives the examples, you know, a woman who manages to lift something heavy off of their child, which normally they couldn't lift, someone who gets deja vu or can see into the future. That's them using the energy in the world to change their own realities to be, and through this you can be successful, you can accomplish anything you want simply by deciding this is what's going to happen and using your brain to warp this reality. I basically took it to the next level. I said, well, maybe this is how witches become witches. You know, they are able to channel this power and be able to connect with the energy that makes up everything in the world.
Mm-hmm. That's, yeah, I definitely have picked that up in the book, and I really enjoy that aspect of it, because I think it, even at one point, I think it might be Luther who tells Isis to be careful, because that power can corrupt her if she does not focus. So I love Luther as a character also, because he's very standoffish but very caring at the same time.
Luther, let's talk about Luther. 500-year-old vampire. Before I was a guidance counselor, I worked in the hotel industry, and my supervisor was a man named Fred. I loved Fred. He was great, but he had been there for 40 years. He was nearing 70. He had no patience. We were a bunch of 20-year-olds behind the desk. Oh, he had no patience already. Because he's dealt with 20-year-olds for the last 40 years. However, he was a nice guy. He was a good guy. He dealt with everything with an eye roll. And it just occurred to me, so this man is 70. So a vampire who's been in the world for 500 years, they're not going to be Tom Cruise, you know, the Vampire Diaries, young. They're going to be, you know, they're going to have zero patience, zero tolerance, whether they're a good guy or not. And we know Luther's a good guy. He's trying to save the world from an impending threat, and he works with witches to prepare for it. But meanwhile, you know, even Sebastian, Selena, you know, these are old adults, well, you know, in their 30s, to him, they're still kids who are getting the same crap he's been hearing for centuries. course he's not going to be the happy-go-lucky, you know, young and vibrant.
That's a great way. I love that. I really do. Okay, so tell us about your I guess, second sequel / third book.
Third book is something I promised myself a very long time ago, is that if I could ever come up with an original concept for time travel, I was going to write it.
Yes.
And I think I came up with that concept, which is the third book in the Witches of Vegas series called Witches Gamble. And the plot revolves around of one of the evil going back in time and making one change that just, through the butterfly effect, changes everything.
And flap of the butterfly's wings.
And the hero at that time has to go back through events that we've seen in previous books, but after the change. So everything is different to try to figure out where the change is made. And as you're seeing in the first book, and the one theme in all the books is a lot of twists and turns that you won't see coming.
Man, that is exciting. I love it. I love it. Do you have any insight that you would like to share about the fourth book, or are we getting too ahead of ourselves?
Well, the fourth is a year away. I can tell you that I'm in the editing process now. But what I can tell you, it's going to deal with something that I find a lot of these sci-fi and fantasy really don't deal with, and it's PTSD. Yes, there's going to be action. Yes, there's going to be adventure. But after everything that happens in the third book, there's always going to be some psychological issues, and a lot of that does come up in the fourth. And that one will lead to the fifth. I do have plans for the fifth as well.
That's great. It sounds like you already have, like you said, it's already flowing through you. It's already having these ideas just kind of, like, popping. And I don't know if you know this, but Chris and I, my co-host of the Oblivion Bar, we met actually in the military, so we're both service members. But I actually have, because of some incidents that occurred during my first and second deployment, do suffer from some, you know, after effects of PTSD. So that definitely draws me in to, like, read it and understand it and see how that affects other characters in the book as well. So I'm excited to read that. So you have another personal, you're almost speaking to me directly.
Well, when I have my copies ready, which will be a while from now, I'm gonna make sure you're gonna be the first to get a copy of it.
Oh man, you were like, you have been so kind to me already. I can't even. I appreciate it very much. Like, I'm so thrilled that you have come back to writing, because what you have created has really been fun so far. And just talking to you about the sequels is, I have like a stack of books, like I'm trying to like my backlog, and I'm just going to have to move yours up right underneath The Witches of Vegas, because I'm so much – just to get to a time travel book is going to – I'm pumped. So one thing that I do really like to do before we start rounding this interview out.
Sure.
One thing I love to do on the Oblivion Bar Pod, and what Chris and I want to do, is we like to inspire people who may be in the industry that you're in and give – the artist or the author or whomever the opportunity to maybe give some advice. Like, do you have any advice that you would share to maybe somebody who, like, if you could give yourself, younger Mark, some advice, what would you give to yourself to inspire you to keep pushing forward?
Expect a lot of hard work if you want to be published. Expect a lot of rejections. It's a humbling experience, because you could send out to 100 publishers and agents, and most of them will send your work back unread with a rejection, you know, which is a form rejection with no understanding as to why. It is difficult. But then again, nothing in this world worth accomplishing is easy. And if, you know, you just got to keep sticking with it, keep trying to get it out. The hardest work actually begins after the story's written. And once you do, once you get that yes, because if you get 100 rejections, you only need one to say yes. Once you get that yes, it's a thrill. And once you get your contract, once you see, they send you a image of your cover, and then once you hold that book in your hand, it's all worth it. It's worth the time. It's worth the effort. The one thing you have to remember is once that book comes out, that's not the end of the race. That's actually your ticket to go to the starting line. That's when the race begins. And the idea isn't just to write the book. The idea is to get as many people out there to read it.
Well, I love that. That's definitely inspirational words to get people to know that it may seem like, because I would think the same thing. I would think that if, you know, because I do enjoy writing, and I would think that once I got my, well, I mean, I do write right now. I'm a, you know, I'm a journalist. So when I do write, I think that once I get my story printed or published or wherever, it feels like the work is done, but it's really not, because that can always inspire and lead on to other things. And it's just like you said, it's just getting to the starting point, and it should be something that inspires you and pushes you to do more, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, once you're there, you want to get to as many people as you can. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's, by the way, it's a never ending quest, because no matter how many people read The Witches of Vegas, there's other people who haven't read it yet that you want to get mm-hmm. this to.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love, that's one thing that I love doing, and I will continue to do, is I like to share books that I really, really enjoy with my friends. I even constantly recommend them on Twitter, on Instagram, all these places. I love sharing books that are written for, you know, good reasons, that aren't just kind of trash, that are just put together just to put something out in the world. So I love the fact that you have some very personal reasons behind what you've written. And obviously, talking to you, I can hear the passion behind The Witches of Vegas and everything that you've written. And I love hearing that, because one thing that it reminds me of is, you know, Stephen King has written about it. He's written about the Dark Tower, which, you know, was actually, he's a character in his own book where the Dark Tower is like flowing through him, all this. And he's just, what was the word? What did he call himself? He is just like a conduit. And that's what you're kind of describing. You're a conduit for The Witches of Vegas. And I love that idea. Man, I feel like that's, is there anything that you want to add? Is there anything you want to?
Since you mentioned about passion, I want to point out that The Witches of Vegas, all three books are available not just in print and ebook, but they're also in audio. And the amazing Jeffrey Lynn Hutchins, who a lot, if you listen to his audio, you'll recognize his voice because he's done a lot of movie trailers. I call him the voice of The Witches of Vegas because he did the first one and it came out amazing. And then he did the second and he's working on the third now. You want to hear passion, someone's voice, really give the story. His audiobook is worth listening to, just to hear him with the passion he has in his voice.
Awesome. Yeah, I love, I am also an avid audiobook listener when I go on trips. I don't like to just listen to music all the time. It gets so boring to hear the same five songs over and over again. but let's go ahead and kind of, what's the word, like promo the books one more time. Tell us, you know, each title, where they can be found, and just let's get all that information out there.
Okay, The Witches of Vegas series, The Witches of Vegas, a Rhone Award winner, Journey to New Salem, which is, as of now, a Rhone Award nominee for this year, and Witches Gamble, which just came out on the 14th of February. So that's The Witches of Vegas, Journey to New Salem, Witches Gamble, all three in the Witches of Vegas series. And you can, for more, just so you know, there is a video trailer of each of these books on YouTube. You just type in the title. And you can also see them, as well as other information, on my website, which is www.markrosendorf.com. And once again, available in print, ebook, and audio.
And where can you buy them?
Anywhere the print and the ebook, anywhere that digital and print books are sold. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, even Target and Walmart have them.
Awesome.
And then the audio is available through Amazon and Audible.
Sounds good. So you heard it here, folks. Go and find out, like, just if you are a reader, you need to read these books. If you have kids, if you know, just do it, because it will inspire them to find their voice, to find their place in the world. This is such a good book for young adults and even adults. I again, I'm having such a great time with it. I'm about halfway to three quarters of the way done with The Witches of Vegas. And it's not, again, it's, I like it not just because I have, you know, personal, like, you know, I guess stake in it because of being from Vegas and enjoying being a fan of magic as well. So I highly recommend this book. You guys heard it from Mark himself. He's passionate. He loves writing. There's a lot to come from The Witches of Vegas and their covenant. Coven. And it's from The Witches and their coven. So again, just like Mark said, www.markrosendorf.com. And he's got one more thing he wants to point out
that if anyone in your audience are fans of magic, the discussions that's on the magician side, that's all from experience. The magic they talk about is actual magic tricks. So you may get a little bit of input as far as the backstage of magic and how.
Okay. So if you're a debunker, you want to read these books as well. You want to debunk some tricks. Okay. Well, again, thank you, Mark, so much for being here. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me on here. It was an absolute pleasure.
Absolutely. It's been a long time coming. Mark and I have been talking for quite a while. He's such a nice guy. He's always, you know, messaging me and telling me about his books and sending me the trailers. We'll go ahead and we're going to post that trailer on our Twitter as well. That way people can kind of get a little glimpse into the world of, you know, Isis and Zach and the Witches of Vegas, because that thing is really well put together as well. I think it's a great kind of quick impression of everything that's going on in that first book. So we're going to go ahead and post that, and then we'll also add a link to Mark's website as well so that people can look for that book. Again, highly recommend for me. I'm going to try and get Chris to read it, but he's more of a comic book reader. But Mark, thank you again. I appreciate your time. I'll go ahead and take us out of the show. Once again, I appreciate everybody coming in and listening. I got to scroll up on them. Okay, subscribe to our podcast, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music,